Welcome to Politics Done Right on KPFT. I am your host, Egberto Williams. This is the progressive program that will take the mystery out of politics. This is the program that will encourage you to make sure government becomes we the people. Whether you are liberal, conservative, or otherwise, you get to air your point of view. Give me a call at 713-526-5738. That is 713-526-KPFT. Remember, you can also send me a tweet to EGBERTOWILLIES. That is at Egberto Williams. Let us engage. It is politics done right.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, folks, welcome to one more edition of Politics Done Right. I'm Egberto Willis, your host. It's going to be an interesting show today because, as opposed to having one blog of the week, I have two blogs to read. But before, please do remember this is a call-in show. This is KPFT FM Houston 90.1. Galveston, 89.5. Goodrich Livingston, 90.3. Huntsville, 91.9. Jacob, how are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. I'm well, on a very tangential note, I'm very happy that my Texans won yesterday. And
was that great or what?
I loved it, especially that Arian Foster touchdown throw.
Can you believe that?
I loved every second of it.
It was almost as good as the catch that that JJ had few weeks before.
Certainly, and when I look at stuff like that, it's what did I just watch? Did I seriously see that just happen?
Yes, you saw that.
So I'm loving it. Football is my great escape from all the serious stuff that I worry myself with. So if I can get a win, and
then we got it.
Absolutely. And we're still alive.
We just have to have San Diego lose or something like that. But, you know, we'll see what happens. But, you know, there are two big stories that are percolating this week. There are the President Obama opening diplomatic relations with Cuba and the two officers that sadly were gunned down in New York City. Today I'm going to share two blogs of the week instead of one blog of the week. Why? Well, you know, they'll initially seem completely unrelated and unconnected, but I will connect them after reading and want to explore the thoughts of the audience. So folks, please, engage yourself. I want you to remember that this is a call-in show. I want you to call us at 713-526-5738. Again, that number is 713-526-5738. Also, 713-526-KPFT. Now, there's a lot happening in the world, and there's a lot that we don't get analyzed when we watch the regular news. I don't have any hair on my head. I am without hair in my head. But there are times watching the news, what I want to do is pull out the hairs I don't have. You know what I mean, Jacob? Maybe I'll...
On a daily basis.
Yes. But you actually have hair that you can pull out.
Well, And a haircut specifically designed to prevent that, fortunately. So I guess I get a pass on that.
Yeah, I think we'll give you a pass. So, you know, the two posts that I'm going to take care of. One is called 50 Years of Foreign Policy Failure and Cuba was brought to you by a willfully ignorant media. And the other one's going to be called Bill de Blasio Must Not Succumb to Thuggish Union Leaders and Their Political Protégés. So, without further ado,
it's time for the weekly blog post.
Okay, I think I'm going to start the first blog with the one called 50 Years of Foreign Policy Failures and Cuba was brought to you by a willfully ignorant media. And I really mean that. And let me get my little pad here in reading modal, because for some reason it's not quite ready, but it is now. It goes as follows. I was watching the the rundown with Jose Diaz-Balart and was simply astonished. It continues to be obvious why bad American foreign policy can continue without much public objection. What many Americans fail to see is how it hurts the country's credibility. Many times, what Americans perceive as hate, indifference, disrespect, lack of appreciation, or downright hostility is simply blowback from policies foreign to the American, to the average American citizen. Why are these policies foreign to the average American citizen? They are foreign because of bad, biased, or coerced reporting. The media went into hyperventilating mode after the president announced the path to normalization of diplomatic relations with Cuba. The reality is that while this is a big step, it was not a courageous step, as Americans, including Cuban Americans, have long supported a more positive relation with Cuba. Many in the older exile Cuban communities have long been much too much sway, or had much too much sway on the American foreign policy towards Cuba. Chuck Todd was interviewed by Jose Diaz-Balart about the president's change in Cuban policy. Instead of laying out the facts about why this change is overdue after a 50-plus year failed policy, Chuck Todd decided to discuss platitudes. He had dinner with friends while in Florida. Chuck Todd said that while these friends understood the intellectual argument for relations based on America's relations with China and Vietnam, the tone of the president's presentation of the new policy was not sufficiently deferential to the exile community in Florida. Wow. The tone. Foreign policy based on tone. Are you kidding? How deferential was Nixon to the Chinese expats, or any president for that matter, to Vietnamese refugees? Why is it that few ever discuss that exiles at work with Fulgencio Batista, the overthrown president of Cuba, were a part of a sadistic government that pilfered its people? Why is it that very few know that Fulgencio Batista and his cronies left Cuba with millions? Why is it that many are more concerned with the semblance of democracy in Cuba than real democracy? Cuba was not a democracy under Batista, under Fidel Castro, or under his brother Raul Castro. Cubans suffered and are suffering under them all. 50 years of bad U.S. policy simply made the pain worse for the average Cuban. While many times Americans' foreign policy is cloaked in the glory hallelujah of democracy and freedom, that is seldom the case. Cuba was a playground for American business, and the American media, or not media, but the American mafia. Fulgencio Batista as dictator, ensuring less than optimal progress of many classes of his people, was in the best interest of those quote-unquote businesses. Castro fighting for a proletariat was not in their interest. They didn't want a population that was moving forward. They didn't want a population that was progressing. I mean, they wanted what most plutocrats wanted. They wanted to have a subservient population with a few elites living the good life. While many times Americans, or moving on, the American plutocracy has always supported a semblance of democracy at home and dictatorship, well, I really mean less than optimal semblances of democracy abroad. One just need remember the Philippines, Panama, Saudi Arabia, Nicaragua, and Haiti, just to name a few. Anyone wonders why America had good diplomatic relations with apartheid South Africa, a country much more brutal than Cuba? President Reagan believed constructive engagement for South Africa was the answer, which, in effect, is the new Obama policy towards Cuba. Constructive engagement. It's the policy with China. Constructive engagement. It's a policy with Vietnam. Constructive engagement. What does constructive engagement mean? It means we engage and the businessmen make profit, so it's a constructive engagement. We're constructing profits. Actually, constructive engagement really means that if we engage these people somehow they're going to see the light. They're going to see the light of our great capitalist democracy taking a foundation in their country, and in doing so, those people are going to clamor for it, and those dictators are just going to let it happen. Of course it didn't happen in China. Of course it didn't happen in Japan. I mean, in Vietnam. Of course it didn't happen in a plethora of other places. The reality is we really don't care about democracy in other parts of the world. We only care about, can we make a profit? Can we open it up? Now, notice the business folks are clamoring to get into Cuba. It's not even open yet, but they're clamoring. They're really, really clamoring. But anyhow, as Chuck Todd illustrates and in his prose above, the American media seldom provides Americans with the information, the meat necessary to come to objective conclusions. Yes, America has diplomatic relations with China. America has diplomatic relations with Vietnam. It is an obvious inconsistency with its Cuban policy. However, there are many other relations the United States have with other countries that are much more vicious to its population than Cuba. Many are nominal democracies. However, because of the ineptitude or willful disengagement of the mainstream traditional media, Americans, the average American citizen, are completely and entirely oblivious to that reality. Americans really simply don't know. And we make decisions based on no information, faulty information, coerced information, or some other type of non-information. One hopes, that President Obama will use his last 2 years to right many of the wrongs in American foreign policy. Since the election, he seems to be unshackled from the status quo sans the omnibus bill, which...
That's a whole other show right there.
Oh, God. I have one more sentence in this blog. And just saying the word, the omnibus bill, it was like deflation. I just got deflated. Anyhow, the omnibus bill. One hopes, last two sentences, one hopes he will use the freedom he has chosen to exercise to become the U.S. president the rest of the world needs. And yes, the rest of the world, they do need a functional and effective U.S. president. In the process, one hopes he is prepared to school the media and not have it up to their, or not leave it up to their willful ignorance. Today, so that's the first blog. I'm going to read the other blog in a little bit, but I want to say a few words. I saw a great display by Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York today. And while he had good reception from quite a few of the reporters, it was great to watch the reporters attempt to get him to go back into the fray of fighting with the police, which he didn't allow. And it's amazing how much spine this guy showed as a liberal Democrat. So I happened to see the interview. I blogged the interview, and it immediately went viral. I think people were so excited to see a liberal with spine and that was willing to fight reporters that somehow that piece just took off. Several, I don't know, probably we are, I don't know, probably 20, 30,000 in the first 3 hours or so. Anyhow, I'm going to go to the next blog. And folks, do remember, the number is 713. This is a shorter blog, so I'll be able to take you rather quickly. 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738. Give me a call. I know it's Christmas time, but we still have a lot to talk about. And I know we can make your Christmas better by having given you some conversation you can have with your more, your more objective cousins and your more objective uncles, maybe.
The annual family melee.
The annual family melee, but we'll just make sure you have the melee having information, having good information. Anyway, the second blog of the week today, like I said, it was a twofer today. It's called Bill de Blasio Must Not Succumb to Thuggish Union Leaders and Their Political Proteges. And I had wanted to play this one on YouTube. I don't know if you, I didn't mention that before, Jacob, and you probably can't do it. Anyhow, that's fine. I should have done that before, but I'll read it. I wanted folks to get the tone with which the, Patrick Lynch. Patrick Lynch is the Patrolman's Benevolent Association president. This guy's interesting. Anyhow, here's a piece. It's called Bill de Blasio Must Not Succumb to Thuggish Union Leaders and Their Political Proteges. Condolences must be given to the families of the police officers who were murdered in New York City last week. No one wants to harm police officers. No one wants to be harmed by police officers. The incident is unrelated to those who are rightfully protesting police brutality. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio must not succumb to the bullying of the police unions. Specifically, he must not yield to the thuggish tactics of Patrolman's Benevolent Association head, Patrick Lynch. This is what he said. Patrick Lynch, that is. There is blood on many hands tonight, Patrick Lynch said. Those that incite violence on the street under the guise of protest, that try to tear down what New York City police officers did every day. We try to warn it must not go on. It shouldn't be tolerated. That blood on the hand starts on the steps of City Hall in the office of the mayor. This was a cold-blooded assassination like we haven't seen before. So, as I said, we will straighten our shoulders, and this is still Patrick Lynch talking. So I said we will straighten our shoulders, we will stiffen our backs, and we will wipe out our tears. But when these funerals are over, we will raise our heads, and those that allowed this to go on will be held accountable. Wow. Sound to me like a threat to both Bill de Blasio and all those protesters. The cops are coming to get you, dude. Somehow, this is an insular bunch. But anyhow, continuing. The above is a threat. The above is a declaration of a belief of an omnipotent police force. Patrick Lynch speaks as if he is a crime boss. The mayor is the elected leader of the great city of New York. He is the head executive of the city. He was elected to run all departments, including the police department. It is a fact that a segment of his city has been abused by many rogue police officers. It is a fact And by the way, folks, when I say it's a fact, I mean it's a fact. If you go to my blog where these two blogs are posted, I've indexed, or rather I've linked to the actual unrefutable facts of everything that I write. Like I mentioned to folks, one of the things that we try to do here at this station is, as opposed to give information that you get, oh, I think it's that way, or not corroborating, or giving you informations like death panels and Ebola scares and all of that, we give fact-based information. So repeat it. It is a fact that a segment of his city has been abused by many rogue officers. It is a fact that stop and frisk policies have unjustly targeted innocent minority citizens of New York. It is a fact that police kill minorities at much higher rates than whites. Recent events provide visual empirical evidence. And by the way, I provided on the blog visual empirical evidence, and I've also provided fact-based evidence. In other words, it's not empirical, it's numerical and verifiable and repeatable. It's all scientific. New York police unions are upset that Mayor Bill de Blasio had spoken a truth. A truth many prefer not to hear. The importance of having Bill de Blasio at this time is more important than ever. He is a white man living the reality of having a black son with experiences every black man has experienced at some time when confronting a police officer. The mayor, better than anyone else, must be that bridge that becomes the empathy, generating catalyst. Many who cannot easily see the indignities many are subjected to by the police may do so more easily through the expressed lived experiences this mayor, this father, was able to put out there and articulate in a form many can understand. Most importantly, the mayor must assert his command over the police. The police is not an insular entity. It's not a government within itself. It works for the people of New York City and not for some police club. Now, how are those stories related? Any ideas how I'm going to tie those two stories together?
Please tell me.
You're not even going to attempt to guess at it?
Just out of the blue, I imagine the angle that you're probably going to go for is something to the effect of the current disconnect between the police and Mayor de Blasio, and how often militaries or police forces were used in some of the countries that you previously mentioned in order to overthrow democracies.
Well, I mean, actually, you know, that I can say indirectly, you sort of hit a piece of what I was going to say, but it wasn't a fair, you know, it wasn't fair for me to just say how would I connect it, because there's a whole bunch of different ways to connect it. But anyway, before I start connecting, folks, 713-526-5738. The telephone number is 713-526-5738. I would love to hear your calls on these two stories. I would love to hear your call on these two issues. I think they're pretty important issues. But here's the issue. Many Americans, not the majority, but many Americans, look at the issues in Cuba, and they have always been under the guise, the belief, that Cuba pre-Castro was a democracy, and in their eyes, anything or any dealings with Cuba somehow meant that we were moving away from that vision that we have of Cuba as a democracy, something Cuba was never. And not only that, though, within those people's eyes, because of that vision that they've seen a Cuba as a democracy, they have never seen the reality of what Cuba meant to all the others, meaning los mestizos, meaning los negritos, meaning los indios, meaning los chinos. All these guys as a part of Indian society never had a part of the pie. When Castro came in with his proletariat, that was what he was bringing. But again, we are not able to see that through our eyes. Now, earlier today, what was interesting is that I was watching a show. I think it was on MSNBC. And there was this woman who came out. And she was once working for the Secret Service, I believe. And she was about to give de Blasio a hard time on TV. First, she said, de Blasio should not be blamed that because he spoke out against the police, he should not possibly be blamed for those police officers having been killed. He should not be blamed. Of course not. But at the same time, she could not understand why Bill de Blasio decided to say that he tells his son when he goes out to beware, be careful with the police. She said he should not have said that. Why shouldn't he have said that? I'm coming to you next, Chris. Remember that Bill de Blasio has a police detail that is protecting his life. Remember, de Blasio's kids have a police detail that's protecting their life. How can he go out there and give that story? That upsets a lot of people. You can't be going out there and saying, beware. There's a disconnect. The same disconnect that you see within Cuba and what Americans believe was a Cuba of freedom is the same disconnect that many Americans see when folks like the mayor speaks about his son that doesn't look quite like him, being more, possibly being a problem when confronting a cop. Different realities. Chris, come on in.
Hey, did you hear the comment about we are at war?
Oh, this is such a sick comment.
Now,
yes.
Now, here's the question.
Yes.
At war with who?
It all depends on which war we're talking about, Chris.
But see, that gets crazy. We're in America.
Right.
Who are you at war with inside your country?
I have no idea. Tell me, please.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
So here's the undertone. There's a group. They want to take their America back. They believe they're patriots.
Right.
They're fully armed, they're highly organized, and they're certainly capable of waging a paramilitary type outfit.
Yes.
Okay. Now, while naive Americans that are played, Republicans or Democrats are played either way, their deal is, this is our America. We're not going to lose it to some bimbo socialist sitting at some table. We got God on our side, and they will kill you. Okay, that's where we're at. Okay, and so if people don't think that there's a group of that, particularly those that are white, go talk to their families and be real. That's what's going on. Okay.
Well, you know, for a long time I've been speaking about the paramilitary movement in America and how it gets activated. And the way it gets activated is, and you know, most people, I am from Central America, so I know what war looks like. I'm from Central America. I know what instability looks like, and I know when and why folks would want instability. And one of the biggest, people look at President Obama, and they used to think that this was going to be some left-wing liberal coming into the presidency, and he was going to change the nature of what America really meant, that and what America was going to be, and the supremacist nature of many of the institutions would suddenly be so no more. That was the belief, and that was the fear. I don't know why it would be a fear, because...
Well, because here's the deal about a fear. You know, this whole word of socialism and communism has always been a fear of the of the people who came and captured this land and took it, mm-hmm. mechanized it, and so forth. The thing is that whether you're good people, not people, most people are just survivors, okay?
Exactly.
And so when you talk about the people who are prepared and who are earned, I know some of them, okay? I know some of them. I've had dinner with them. Okay?
Right.
They're afraid. The thing is that these people can be manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole thing of violence, and then it becomes a systemic issue, is black, brown, so forth. Then you got chaos.
Mm-hmm.
That's the play that really bothers me, because many of these good people are manipulated to thinking that it's this black thing, it's this white thing, it's this cop against this, and they get played just like terrorists, just like people who blow themselves up in a restaurant thinking they're going to go to heaven,
mm-hmm.
but they're played. And that's what's really scary now about people here in this country. They're being played.
Yes, they are.
And whether some guy goes up and shoots two police officers and then kill himself, who knows the behind-the-scenes curtains on that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's what we got to come to in this country, that they're not schizophrenic. They're not crazy people. You know, there are things going on in this country, and they better get a grip on it.
Well,
it's not my white guy. He's not really my enemy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. And I think, and that's, you know, that I think, believe it or not, was the biggest fear with the president. The biggest fear with the president is that was he was going to come in here. He was going to remove remove that nature of the country. And let me here's one thing I always said. You will know if there is going to be systemic change when Appalachia and Cabrini Green gets
uh-huh.
together, okay?
Uh-huh.
Whenever Appalachian Cabrini Green... Well, I don't even know if there's a Cabrini Green in Chicago anymore.
Yeah, I thought that went away.
Yeah, I think Cabrini Green went away. But so let's look at the worst area in the inner city. We will know whenever those two get together at that
uh-huh.
point... they know they would have lost the battle, and that is their biggest fear. And how do you get around that fear?
Wow.
You create the dissension that we get today. You
it
create the
so
polarization.
Deep. That fear runs so deep.
Yes.
Man.
Yes.
And that's bothersome to me.
Yeah.
That fear runs so deep, and that people that are like, you think are really your friends will turn on you.
Yeah,
it happened in Germany. It happened in the Baltics. It's happened all over the world. And it's going to happen here in this country. And that's what people don't get.
Right.
We're going to get it. We're going to get a taste of what you've gotten. We're going to get a taste of what some of these other folks that listening to me know what I'm saying. We're going to get a taste of it.
The thing about it is I want what I think, you know, I think there are powers in the country that would love to have that be the case. But I think... There are enough folks out there that recognize that. And, you know, when I brought these two stories, you know, I brought it for another specific reason, and that is to show how people can look at the same incidences from different points of view and see something completely different. And, you know, when you look at the case in New York with the police officer, and let me give a quick station ID here. Folks, you're listening to KPFT, FM Houston 90.1, Galveston 89.5, Goodrich Livingston 90.3, Huntsville 91.9. Please give us a call. We have open lines, 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. Now, Chris, the thing that gets me with, and you know, and the incident with the cops could actually, and I think you see a lot of some of the politicians are actually getting scared in a bit, in that they don't want this to be one of the tipping points, because the where the country is at right now, a lot of these little incidences
mm-hmm.
can get out of control and they can become a tipping point. It's the same thing that they did with Occupy Wall Street movement.
All it takes is it's like the feather.
Mm-hmm.
That tips the scale.
Right.
It happened everywhere. Remember, it happened in Rwanda. Remember the tutu?
Yes, it was. The tutu and the
nootsuit.
One
little
yeah.
incident that
right.
occurred, that plane. And then look what happened.
Right.
And it is it's one something. I'm telling you, I'm very concerned.
I think.
One something. And you sound like an optimist. And
yes.
that's great, because I'm an optimist.
Right.
I believe there are a lot of people who get it. I think there are a lot of people who love this country, who love what the Constitution means, who really are good people. They're not some bimbos and goo-goos that believe in you know, well, craziness. they're solid, you know, people. I'm with you on that.
Right. You know, I blog at politicsdoneright.com, of course, and at egbertowillis.com, and I put a lot of these blogs on our Coffee Party USA site on Facebook, Coffee Party USA. And what happens there is you find that because of what we write, a lot of us write from our blogs there, we are starting to use social media just to kind of encourage people to do a little bit more deeper thinking than the shallowness they get on TV. And in doing so, this some of the things that you articulate, you hear people mention. I mean, a lot of people understand exactly what you are saying there. In other words, we're at a tipping point. We are at a point. The country is a very armed country. We have something like the NRA that continuously attempts to keep these people more armed. We're reaching to the state where
in Houston, every other week there's a gun show.
Yes, yes.
I mean, you think that's like, you know, every other week there's a gun show somewhere?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, you have more gun shows going on than you have, you know, home building or any kind of other thing.
Right.
You know, why is that?
Well, again, I think really two reasons. One is a profit motive for the gun companies. I mean, they make a lot of money selling these things. And the other thing is really... We do have quite a few militias around, including here in Texas in Waco. I'll tell you a little story. I went to this stuff we had at the Coffee Party, had a big rally on the mall in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And one of my bunk mate is from Waco, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at me and he said, you know, before he joined the Coffee Party, he was a strong Tea Party guy. And he finally got tired of the rhetoric. He got tired of the, you know, the constant attack. And
negativism, just total negativism.
Exactly. Yeah.
And he wasn't a negative person. He was with a bunch of negative people.
Right. So he came by and he liked what we had to offer and he joined. So we had this rally and one night we stayed up probably till 3-4 in the morning just talking, and it was confession time from him. And he said, you know, he was a part of a militia out there in Waco and he used to go to the meetings. And he said, you know, what he was trying to get to me is that these people are not really bad people confused, but guess what? They're triggered to react. And he said, if something comes down, they're ready to react. And what was interesting, he said, but you know what? I could take you to one of our meetings, but, you know, you'd have to make sure not to talk about it. I didn't quite accept the offer, if you will.
Listen, I'm a hunter.
Yeah.
I have friends. I've hunted with Ted Nugent. I've hunted with, you know, and so I've actually been on site. I've seen the hardware. I've been at the table, okay? Mm-hmm. These are not just little guys. These are owners of multi-million-dollar companies.
Right.
That this is how they feel. I mean, this is what they feel about what's happening. Okay?
Right.
These are not just some guy who's a blue-collar worker who's a Johnny Redneck with a pickup truck.
Right.
These folks you would never even suspect that are totally armed, totally ready, totally feel that we got to get our country back, and the rest of them are, like you said, are very easily triggered.
Right, and you know,
in fear.
Those guys are looking for something. But I think Jacob said he wanted to say something. Jacob,
yeah, real quick. One thing that I've noticed that's kind of interesting is that one name has come back into the media as a result of these two police shootings, and that's Cliven Bundy.
Oh man.
I mean, of course, anybody who's living in Iraq a couple of months ago, Cliven Bundy was, of course, that rancher who was grazing his cattle on federal land, if memory serves, without paying any fees for like 20 years, and the feds finally said, you know, screw it, you either pay up or we're going to come get you. And so, yeah, they had an armed standoff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget one of those ranchers who came to his defense in the prone position with a rifle pointed at the police.
From the freeway, yes. Now you said his name came up. How did his name come up?
Well, I can't remember where I read it, because, I'm always drinking from the fire hose, but I know one publication talked about, I guess, the double standards when it comes to right-wing people who kill police versus anybody else.
Exactly. And really the bottom line is that they hate the police, too.
Yes.
They hate the government. And then the other side of it is they hate the rule of law and the authority with the police department, what it represents. You see the volatility here?
Check out this, the sovereign citizen movement.
Right. Actually, they print their own money. I mean, they print their own money. They write their own checks based on nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that the police actually have special briefings about these people. You know, be very careful if you see any cars decked out, any sort of paraphernalia regarding or any sort of literature having to do with the sovereign citizen movement, because they genuinely don't care. They believe that you have no power over them whatsoever.
None. Zero. Zippo.
And they
feel their right, too. That's the crazy part. They actually feel they're empowered by the Constitution, by the Founding Fathers, by the rule of God. They feel they have the right. So they're solidified in that.
And, you know, I have, ironically enough, being a service member, I have an anti-authoritarian streak in myself. But, you know, the way I guess I reconcile that is, you know, one thing that you do in the military, part of discipline, is being able to suborn some of your own desires in order to do right by others for a greater cause, what have you. Reason why you can put your own stuff away for a minute. These people don't seem to be able to do that. It's the ultimate level, the ultimate sense of self-entitlement, that you can just go and do whatever you want, the courts, the police, the military, or even just basic human decency be damned.
Yep.
You can do it,
you
or rather, they can do it, but you can't.
You can cut their heads off, you can scorch them and torch the village, you can kill a community, okay? You can do that, because you have the righteous indignation, and you're entitled.
Right.
That's a scary thing, and let me tell you something, sir. You're enlightened, but those of us who are true believers in what the Constitution truly represents for the common everyday person, we better understand it's not about all these little games that are being played. You better fight for our rights that's given to us by the Constitution, because we're going to be the losers. That regular people like us are going to be caught up in this crossfire of craziness. And I'm concerned so much about it. I really am.
And, you know, I tell you what, when you're concerned about something, that's why we do something about it. So that's what I always say, Chris. Yeah, we are concerned, but we don't sit down, twiddle our fingers, and bite our nails and not do something. We engage one person at a time. And, you know, and move. That's how I think we get things done. But do you have any mention? Did you follow what I spoke about Cuba at all? Or what's your thoughts on Cuba?
In fact, Cuba, I am so glad, because Cuba is another place that people are held hostage in their own country by politics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a beautiful place with beautiful people, you know, and these games they played about embargoes and all that, you know, keeping their people captive and the whole both sides of it. I'm really hopeful that we can start a real true line of communication with Cuba.
Yeah, well, like the president said, you know, this has been going on for 50 years, and why would you continue to do something that hasn't worked for 50 years? It
50
seems.
Years.
You
and
know.
Europeans have been going to Cuba and the French, they go and enjoy a good Cuban cigar and have fun and buy property or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, we're denied that because of these silly, embarrassing politics.
And you know, I mean, like I said before, I don't know if you listened to what I said before, but the belief that somehow Cuba pre-Castro was a democracy is not true at all. In fact, one could wager that Cuba under Batista, to the average Cuban citizen, not the elite, but to the average Cuban citizen, was a lot more brutal than under Castro. I mean, nobody talks about that. Nobody talks about how brutal Batista was. And then to relay that back into New York, where I spoke about making the connections, is as the mayor is trying to create some semblance of reform for their police department based on how a segment of its citizenry are treated, the blowback that he gets from those who are unable to empathize is, how dare this mayor put out there that somehow this perfect New York police department is somehow less than fair with all of its citizens, when it is a codifiable fact, a reproducible fact, that the police has always, in New York, in Houston, and elsewhere, irrespective of who the mayor is, irrespective of who the police chief is, because the police force looks exactly like the rest of the...
They look exactly like it looks all the other places. And
exactly.
That's arrogance and the pride of these departments, where they feel like you said, they feel like they're even above the law. They
right.
won't say it. They'll get on camera and say how they comply. But they're a group within themselves, and it's that whole same personality that I see every other place in the world. I've seen it in Liberia. I've seen it in different places. I've seen it in China. That arrogance that we are the ones who really call the shot.
Right. And, you know, when you heard that Patrick, the guy who runs the Brotherhood for the union, when he says that they are going to mourn for now, but that as soon as they're done mourning, in effect, they're coming.
They're coming. Mm-hmm.
You know, and he says it. He didn't make any bones about it.
Mm-mm, he didn't. And he doesn't care what you think about it either.
Know,
he's
I
coming.
Mean,
so who is he coming for?
Exactly, he said.
So,
but
so is that a code word to those people who you feel like you know who they are?
Yes.
And after?
From the mayor right
who
back
is
down.
It? Who is it?
He said, but when these funerals are over, we will raise our heads. And those that allowed this to go on, who are those?
The person that allowed it to go on is dead, I thought he committed suicide.
Yeah, but that's not who he means. He claims...
Uh-huh, that's exactly my point.
Right.
Who is he talking about?
The mayor and the
mayor
protesters.
Who is he talking about? He thinks there's a bigger conspiracy? There's a broader stroke here?
No, what he's saying, and he said before, is that the climate was created by the mayor. Because the mayor said that he speaks to his son and tell his son, because his son is a black boy, he tells his son, when you go out there, please, you be careful. You must show more care than the average New Yorker.
Mm-hmm.
And, he told his son this white father told his black son that because he is a realist. He lives in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, folks are asking people to put blinders on. You know, we can change all of this. When hearts are changed, that mayor would not have to tell his son that. But until hearts are changed,
mm-hmm.
realities are changed,
mm-hmm.
that mayor had to do that. Now they want this police union led by Patrick Lynch. Wants the mayor to apologize for that statement.
Uh-huh.
He says the mayor should apologize for making that statement.
For indicting us that we're racist and we're profile and we're discriminatory. How
now,
dare you accuse
then
us?
There was a secret a woman that was a pre-secret service on TV today on MSNBC stating that, yes, the mayor created a problem by making that statement.
Mm,
in other words... Given
mm-hmm.
educating your kid to stay alive,
he must apologize
telling the truth.
Because to say that, for him to say that is to make what all these others have been saying for years true.
Right.
We know they're just a bunch of wackos and crazies and just unthankful and ungrateful and should be happy that they're, you know, whatever, got welfare.
Exactly. What I was happy about is that the mayor came out today and when he came out today, he came out forcefully in his news conference. And while they wanted him to apologize, there was a right wing guy in there that really hit the mayor up. And the mayor came back forcefully. I'm like, the first thing I said is, it's about time we get a few of these guys with spines. It's about time we get a Democrat
mm-hmm.
with spine. He said, he looked at the reporter directly in his eyes and he said, what you managed to do is pull up the few who do not represent the majority, who are saying unacceptable things, who shouldn't be saying those things, and some who actually physically attacked police officer, which I said is absolutely unacceptable. The few who want conflicts attempt that,
uh-huh.
and unfortunately so many times, you guys, meaning the reporters, you guys enable that. I don't see reports on the many decent, good people. Mm-hmm. I don't see reports on the everyday cops who do exemplary things and hold the line and show restraint and discipline no matter what invective hurt hurled at them.
Mm-hmm.
Then he said, you know what? I'm telling you all over again. And he's admonishing the reporter. You know what? I'm telling you all over again. That's how you want to portray the world. But we know a different reality. There are some people who do that. It's wrong. It's wrong. They shouldn't do it. It's immoral. It's wrong. It's negative. They should not do that. But my friend are not the majority. They are not the majority. Stop portraying them as the majority. He admonished that reporter. Something I hadn't seen many of these guys do. And I sat down and watched that in that press conference. I'm like, that's what we're talking about.
That's what we need. And if we have more of that.
Exactly.
If we had more of that kind of talk, that kind of courage, that kind of heart speaking out at that level, we would get greater traction and push back this craziness that's being perpetuated. And I think the news media has a tremendous... I don't know who they're sold out to, but... You know, there's clearly...
Oh, we know who they're sold out to, Chris.
They promote whatever they want, and most of the time, 90% of the time, it's negative.
Absolutely.
You know, it's negative. So, that's a great interview, and I hope that more follow his lead.
I hope so, too. I mean, I was also impressed with the president in the last... the president has been acting... It's completely liberated over the last few weeks. I mean, he gave a news conference, and the first thing he did is that he only called on women. Only women were allowed to ask questions. And something interesting happened when only women asked questions. And you know what that interesting thing was? We only got substantive questions. We didn't get the silly type of no meaning shallow questions that we normally get when those same old standard men, the one that are supposed to be the preeminence within that, get there.
Wow.
You know, it's amazing.
Well, it is an absolutely wonderful evening to talk. That's why I support KPFP with my dollars.
And
I appreciate this show, and I appreciate this dialogue.
Look, Chris, I appreciate that. Tonight, I think people are sort of off towards Christmas. We didn't get a whole lot of calls today. Mm-hmm. I think people are starting to get to you-know-what out of town do you-know-what.
Well, that's what I'm doing. And so, you know, I'm kind of on my way in from all of that.
But. Well, good for you. I appreciate you calling, my friend.
Thank you.
And you have a wonderful day and keep on listening, okay?
Yes, I will.
Thank you, sir. Anyhow, so, folks, please do remember this is a call-in show. We have open line 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738. You want to say something, Jacob?
Oh, yeah. With a name like Lynch, I'm sure that some of his critics had a field day with that.
Oh, you know, only you would think of something. It never crossed my mind.
Well, I think of that because I love to laugh. I try to be colorful. I try to be funny on occasion, but... I love to laugh, and comedy is sacred to me, and it's sacred not only for the sake of making life just that much sweeter on occasion, but it's also an incredibly powerful weapon.
Right.
Whoever you aim it at.
Right. I had not thought about that. Maybe I should kind of add a little joke like that to the blog that I wrote. Maybe I'll do that. Actually, when I was reading it, I saw a couple of grammatical errors, and I said, oh my God, you mean my copy editors, which usually means the people who read my blog, you know?
The best kind.
The best kind, because when they get you, they get you. The copy editors, when you get an English teacher out of New Hampshire telling you, did you copy edit this before you posted it, ma'am? No, but thank you very much for letting me know that I had 3 grammatical errors in my 750-word essay. Thank you.
With all due respect and every my admiration, teachers can be the worst when it comes to that.
Oh, they'll tell you. But you know what? I accept it. I love it. If somebody corrects it, I mean, you know, I make a boo-boo on the vlogs. I go out there and I fix them.
Yeah, it frustrates me too whenever I post something, but I can't say anything. You're right. I mean, when they're right, of course.
Well, yeah. Well, actually, most of the people who give critiques to my blogs for grammar error, they're usually right. In other words, I would screw up and I'll send them a thank you. But every now and then, one of them would get real antsy about it. You're losing your credibility because you use, because you know, ITS apostrophe shouldn't be here. It's just ITS without the apostrophe.
Okay, I'm so sorry. Yeah, I don't think that's going to, something like that is going to jeopardize your credibility.
They tell me, you'd be surprised the amount that tell me that, but I think the ones that tell me that are the ones that really didn't agree with whatever was within the blog.
Yeah, I could see that.
You know, and then what they'll do is they'll tell you that sort of stuff to really attempt to discredit you. Folks, I can take one more call, 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738. I think this is the first time I've ever gotten just one call.
Well, it's December, the holiday lull.
The holiday lull. But let's see if somebody else wants to ask a question. 713-526-5738. You would be the last one. Let's see if we have a last one. 713-526-5738. Do you have the courage to give us a call? Do you want to know something else about Cuba? Do you want to know something else about what's going on in Nueva York? ¿Quieren saber lo que está pasando? Estamos aquí para servirles. Café FT. KPFT, we're here to serve you. Now, Jacob, what do you have planned, given that I think we're pretty much done with most of the show? What do you have planned for the Christmas?
I have no clue. I generally don't make a whole lot of plans during Christmas, so well, I have no clue.
You know, I think that's a way to that is a benefit of being young. That is a benefit of doing not having all the commotions like I'm going to have, like having families from all over the place come in to be a part of dinner, I guess. So you know how that goes. But I think we're 7 seconds out. So, folks, thank you very much for being a part of Politics Done Right. Please remember to go to the website, politicsdoneright.com. Go to the Facebook page, Politics Done Right, or you can send me tweets at Egberto Willis. Thank you very much. Politics Done Right is out.
Thank you very much for listening to Politics Done Right. I am your host, Egberto Willis. You can personally reach me by sending an email to egberto@politicsdoneright.com. Remember, Egberto is spelled E-G-B-E-R-T-O. Change starts with you. 90.1 KPFT gives you information not tainted by corporate interest. Please visit kpft.org and contribute. Let's ensure continued access to real information and news remain available to all. Again, thank you very much for listening to Politics Done Right.